What's up, everyone? I'm Matt McGackey from Cryptopsy and the Box and Hops Metal Podcast, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
Frontman and vocalist Matt McGackey of the band Cryptopsy from Canada accompanies us on this episode of That Metal Interview Podcast, all the way from the state of Texas in the U.S. of A. And once more, welcome everybody. Thank you for accompanying us and being a part of the show. Thank you for sharing, streaming, downloading, and blah, blah, blah. Thank you for supporting us on social media. And right now, let's check out a video from the great band Cryptopsy, a band that is hailing out of Canada and is promoting a badass album, As Gomorrah Burns. It brings up a couple of subjects from the Bible. But anyways, we'll let him talk about that right now. Right now, we're going to check out a video and music single by the name of Flayed the Swine. Check it out.
Yeah.
what kind of audio torture is this? Is this a metal torture for the people that listen to pop music? Of course it is. But to us metalheads, it is a complete pleasure of being a metalhead listening to this kind of music. So what kind of genre is it? I'm not sure. It's deathcore, death metal, metalcore. I'm not sure what you guys want to call this. But they are promoting a new album by the name of S. Gomorra Burns. Gomorra is G-O-M-O-R-R-A-H. And I've seen that, and I've heard that term in the Bible. And we're going to ask Matt about this subject. We will ask Matt to see what this means, Gomorra, for us people that don't know much about the Bible, or you guys that don't know much about the Bible. So check it out. This is our interview with Matt McGatchy, frontman and extreme badass vocalist for Cryptopsy. Check it out. Yeah, so I was listening to this video on YouTube last night of, I can't remember the girl's voice, name, but she's a vocal teacher, and she was dissecting your vocals.
My good friend Mary. Yes, Mary Zimmer. Voice hacks.
That's true. Yeah, there you go. Wow.
She's cool.
You just got some badass vocals, man. Before we get into your new music, where did you get this this voice? How did you build this voice? Or
I always wanted to be a singer. I remember wanting to be a singer, earliest memories, and maybe it's just because my parents told me that I would sing all the time. I would do shows for family members of songs that I'd heard on the radio. There's a video of me singing the Irish Rovers, which is a weird thing, in cowboy boots in my underwear. I was under 5 years old. I just always wanted to sing. I started playing in bands in high school, and I loved it. It was like, oh, this is me. This is my identity. It's cool when you're in high school and you start a band and it works and there's not many bands and you become the band of the high school. It's fun. My aunt gave me, the same aunt that showed me the Irish Rovers, funny enough, bought for me for Christmas singing lessons because she was afraid I was going to hurt my voice. And I started taking vocal lessons at that point. I was probably either in late high school or just coming out of high school when I started doing that. And then when that band fell apart, I joined my first Montreal-based band, 3 Mile Scream, and it's at that point that I started listening to Mike Patton. So early on, I was really inspired by, like, nu metal, Korn, Tool, Incubus, specifically Science album, and I was doing a lot of clean vocal singing with, like, a little bit of shouting here and there, System of a Down, Korn-influenced Deftones. And then as things kept going, I kept listening to heavier and heavier stuff. Slipknot came around, and I was like, I'll never be able to scream like that. It's impossible for me to make that sound voice. And then I discovered Mike Patton, and I discovered Mike Patton, and I joined 3 Mile Scream right after. So Mike Patton really just showed me that the human voice can do a bunch of things. And when I started in 3 Mile Scream, I started basically as a Mike Patton worship project. I would just do weird things with my voice, as weird as I could, and then the band just really got more motivated to falling into what was happening at the times, which was the new wave of American heavy metal bands like Shadows Fall, Lamb of God. So I remember getting Ashes of the Wake, I think it's called, from Lamb of God, and then that really, like, pushed me to try to do more and more harsh vocals. So the band started doing more and more harsh vocals, and I still have those demos of me, like, first screaming, and they're horrible, obviously. Just lots and lots of practice and time, and then being in 3 Mile Scream, we recorded with Christian Donaldson, the guitarist of Cryptopsy, and he showcased his new mixes, as he still does today, to Cryptopsy going on the road as they were touring, and Flo, our drummer, was in a moment of transition in his creative mindset, wanting to include some clean vocals into Cryptopsy. So he invited me to be a part of the band. I joined the band, and that's when I was like, oh my God, okay, I got to be a death metal vocalist now. What do I have to do? How do I do this? And I just tried, did my best, and I was most definitely not a death metal vocalist when I joined Cryptopsy. It took many, many years for me to become one. And it's really just trial and error and pushing yourself to do interesting things with your voice, taking chances while having proper training, obviously. The self-title came out, and I really leaned heavily into a false chord, low scream. I was trying to scream as brutal as I could, and I used that voice throughout the self-titled and then the Book of Suffering, Tome 1 and Tome 2. Tome 2, I sort of tried a new vocal technique using false chords, closer to a corpse grinder type scream from Cannibal Corpse, and Christian Donaldson, our guitarist, really liked that voice. And when we toured after the Book of Suffering, Tome 2, I started using that voice a lot more often live. And every time I would use it after the show, Chris would be like, that's it. That's the voice. You use that voice on the next record. And that's what I did. So this whole new record, As Gamora Burns, is just false chord screams with a few fries here and there. I'm just having fun. But it's a journey. I've been in the band 16 years, and it's a journey to finally just be able to relax and have fun.
Wow. My parents don't like this kind of music, rock or metal, or any type of stuff under that umbrella. So they just call it dogs barking music.
Yeah, I can see that. It's an acquired taste. I do remember the first time I was introduced to Cryptopsy. I was riding on the train with my good friend Luke, and Luke showed me None So Live, which is a live album that Cryptopsy had, and they had Martin Lacroix on vocals at that period of the band. And I remember listening to Phobophile and being like, what the fuck is this guy saying? So no, it's definitely an acquired taste. It's like craft beer. It's like beer in general. You got to get used to the flavors of everything, and sometimes it could be a bit too much for people.
I'm a fan, of course, but it's cool how there's different types of voices, and you can identify different types of screams and screeches and there's different words behind every different type of voice, right? That's cool. Wow. That's just awesome.
There's a whole calculation, and as the in the age of the internet, as there's more and more YouTube channels and tutorials going on, there's like names and stuff that is being put to things that have been happening for years with extreme voices, because Native people and Inuit people have been doing throat singing for so long, and that's basically the root of extreme vocals is throat singing. So it's just basically, there's all this terminology that's coming up nowadays, and people are like falling into it and like accepting these terms. So it's interesting over what the internet has really brought, this sense of knowledge and giving like names to things that have been happening for so long, and it's just basically now becoming common knowledge that these are the terminologies that are being accepted.
Wow, absolutely. So As Gamora Burns, dropping September 8th, Nuclear Blast. Who's the mastermind here? Are you in charge of the lyrics, and who's the riff master here?
Riff master 100% is Christian Donaldson, our guitarist. This is his record. It's the most Chris record that he's ever been a part of. He's been in the band for 18 years. For a long time, he was just in the band as a guitarist, and he would always say, this is your band to flow. But now he's finally really roped up and said, this is my band, and it's his most personal record, I would say. He put his heart and soul into this. We had the pandemic that gave us extra time to really analyze everything, and Chris is extremely hard on himself and us. So he outdid himself on this one for sure.
About 11 years, give or take, since the last record. Is the pandemic part
last
of the
last full length? Correct, yes. Yeah. Last full length, but we dropped two EPs, and okay, one in 2016 and one in 2018. So we always take a long time composing stuff, because we are meticulous, and also because we tour a lot. So we've been touring a lot, and when we're touring, we're not writing. We've tried to do that. It's not how we write. Chris writes best in his studio. That's what works for him, and he was just needed to find his voice in Cryptopsy, and he's been doing that since the Book of Suffering, and I feel like he's really, really found his voice now on As Gamora Burns.
Some people might not know, might not realize that the process behind a record release, you guys record for days, months, sometimes years, a whole album, and then you mix it, master, and then you turn it into the label, right? At this point, is there anything you might want to change on the record? Of course, you can't go backwards anymore, right?
Oh, well, Chris would like to change the entire mix, but I like it. Chris, it's just the way Chris is. Chris is the producer, of the band as well. So he, as soon as he finishes anything and hands it in, and then he works on another project, he always hates what he just did. And this new project sounds so much better. So if Chris was in this conversation, he would say that. For myself, no, there's nothing I'd like to change. I think it's we took the time that we needed. For the first time, I really spent a lot of time recording vocals. I was living at Chris's house for a week, and we just tracked, having fun, drinking beer, and then we'd go have lunch and go to the beach with our families and come home and track some more. It was a really amazing experience. In the past, it was always like, I'm going to go track vocals after a day's of work, and then I would track, and then, you know, and then it was over. Like, I had two little windows, whereas this was like a whole week. And no, there's nothing I'd like to change. I think I'm very, very content with Eskimo Reverence.
I agree. To what I've heard so far, is just awesome stuff. Flate, the Swine, in Abeyance, great stuff. Where do you guys get crazy riffs and crazy ideas from? What's your inspiration here?
Chris drinks a lot of beer. And then, I'm not joking. And Chris is a very harsh critic on himself, on a lot of things. He's a producer, so he always sees things differently than we do. So when he's writing a riff, if he's too straight-headed, his immediate critic is like, oh, that sucks. So sometimes he has a few beers, and then he's like, oh, this is good. You know, he like that phantom doubt syndrome goes away.
Okay.
And then he records it, and then the next morning he listens to it when he's level-headed, and he's like, oh, that actually is good. So that's where it comes from.
Wow, that's cool.
Being inebriated, and it comes from trying to do things outside of the box. Something that Cryptopsy learned from John Levasseur is that he would write a riff one way, and then he'd learn to play it backwards, play the whole riff backwards, and really? That creates like a very unique sounding riff, which is something that we played around with on this record too.
I've never heard of that. Wow, that's a cool idea there. Backwards, as in literally backwards. Wow.
Like literally, like now it's super easy because on Pro Tools you can just flip it. But back in the day, John would have to like mentally learn the song, that riff backwards. Whereas nowadays we can write it and flip it, and then Chris has to learn it backwards and retrack it so that it's done properly.
Which is your favorite track on this record?
I have the closing track is my favorite track, Praise the Filth. It is one of the darkest songs lyrically I've ever written, and the outro is just so ominous and so there's just a sense of malaise. It's so goddamn dark. It makes you feel horrible, and that's the exact purpose of it.
It's metal.
Very.
So how about the album title, As Gomorrah Burns? Is this Bible stuff from the Bible, or where'd you guys come up with this stuff?
It's a reference to the Bible. It's Cryptopsy initially was called Gomorrah.
Okay.
Back in 1992 or early, probably even earlier, actually. I interviewed Mike DeSalvo, who was one of Cryptopsy's vocalists, and he told me the first time he met Cryptopsy, they were called Gomorrah, and I was like, I put that information in my brain. I thought it was cool. And then when coming up with the album concept, which I had before we started writing the music, and I had the name before we started writing the music, was I have a podcast as well called Vox and Hops. And since I launched my podcast in 2018, I found myself becoming insatiably addicted to social media. Something that's not healthy, the doom scroll. And I wanted to look at that and analyze that and take that and expand that negativity into that of the internet. I knew I'd be doing a lot of interviews for this release, and I wanted to have something positive that I could share with the world. So basically I took Sodom and Gomorrah, which comes from the Cryptopsy name, and everyone knows the biblical story of that, where it was a utopia, it was a place of wealth, of knowledge, people lived in abundance, and then as humans do, they overindulged in all this abundance, and then God came and smited them. So I paralleled that with that of the birth of the internet. The internet is a place of wealth, of abundance of knowledge. Amazing discoveries have happened thanks to the connectivity of the internet, but there's also a bunch of horrible things that have happened due to the birth of the internet, such as online bullying, stalkers, isolation, people being isolated even though they're completely connected to people. They really live completely by themselves and shut down. There's online cults. There's religious leaders that take advantage of elderly, and there's defamation that happens on the internet every day. So I took these topics exactly. Those are probably the 8 song topics. Catfishing as well. And then I found true stories of what happened to people in the world since the birth of the internet. And I took each story and then I embellished it as a creative writing experiment to create song lyrics. That's basically what I've done. I love working with concepts, and I think that it's important. And I think that we all need to really analyze our relationship with social media. I think it's something that over the next 10, 20 years, there's going to be a lot of studies that are going to come out of the negative impacts of certain eras of social media before they put in like restrictions. And I'm sounding like an old man, but I think it's important that we our children learn to be bored. I think that kids need to have idle time where they're not being entertained. I feel like a lot of great discoveries in the world in the past probably wouldn't have happened had that person not been bored for a second, to let the brain do the work and not just the doom scroll. So that's what Asgamora Burns means to me.
Well, that's cool. I've never heard of the doom scroll. That's very cool. So
it's just the never-ending scroll of refreshing. It's horrible.
Where can people find your podcast, Vox and Hop? Where can we find it? All streaming services?
It's available everywhere. I've released over 400 episodes.
Awesome.
I release episodes every week. I've been doing it since October 2018. I've released episodes with probably most of your favorite metal people out there. It's a true side hustle pleasure that I love doing. And it's great. I love the podcast has brought me so many amazing things. Somewhat of an introvert, and now I'm capable of sitting down with basically anyone, share a beer with them, and talk about their lives and music. It's really a gift that came to me.
Very cool. Wow, I like the name Vox and Hop. Go check it out. So awesome. Back to the album. Who did the artwork there? Who's the person in charge?
Paolo Girardi. He's amazing, the Italian painter. When I came up with the name and the concept, I started thinking about what the album would look like. So I looked on the internet, which is funny because the whole album is sort of a retrospective analysis of the internet. But a positive thing of the internet is that you can find things on it. And I found Renaissance paintings of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. And I love the look of it and the feel of it. And I sent it to the band and they approved. So I sent these screenshots to Paolo and told him some color schemes. One of the band members, I can't remember if it was Ollie or Chris, suggested that because the paintings have like God destroying the cities, that we would have the Cryptopsy Bat be the one like destroying the cities coming out of the flames. And Paolo just nailed it. He started on a Monday, and I think by Thursday night it was finished, and I would get like updates each day. He's really very talented. He's done a bunch of work for so many bands. A true artist. So easy to work with.
What's your favorite part of touring?
The fans local craft beers.
Right. Nice. How about foods? So what's your favorite foods?
Well, I'm very un-Texan. I'm a vegan, so it's food becomes okay. Difficult for me on tour. It's becoming more easy than when I first started being vegan, but it's not something I showcase ever, really. It's just a personal thing. I like to find a nice... Typically, I eat Asian food because it's easy to eat vegan, and I just don't ask them what's in the sauce.
Carnival.
But I have... When I wasn't a vegan and we played with Cannibal Corpse... in Texas and Dallas at Gas Monkey, or which became Amplified, which is now closed, there was these amazing women that came out and they did a whole barbecue thing for the bands backstage there. It was amazing. That was awesome, man.
Wow.
But I wasn't a vegan at that point.
So it's closed. Oh wow, I didn't know that. Gas Monkey. Carnival of Death tour, you guys are taking off September 7th, I believe, with Abysmal Dawn, Hate, Visceral Disgorge. You excited for this tour?
Absolutely. We haven't toured since 2019. I've toured with all of those bands before, so I can't wait to get back on the road, and we're traveling together on a bus. It's going to be a fun time, and to showcase this new record live to the fans is something that's really important for the band, so we are planning to tour a lot in the coming year. We have this tour coming up, and then we are also going to Asia in December. We're going to do 10 shows over there, and we are doing MDF in May 2024, where we're playing Blasphemy Made Flesh in its entirety because it's the 30th anniversary of that. But we're organizing a bunch more tours right now because Cryptopsy is ready to be back on the road.
How does it feel? I mean, do you see the progress here since you joined? You said about 16 years, give or take. I mean, not many bands can say, hey, I'm going to Asia now, and I'm ready.
We're very, very, very lucky. And it's all about having the right people in your team. We are the Asia part is super, I want to say easy, but it's not an easy thing, because we have an amazing friend over there named Gino that does Slam Man bookings, and he is the main booker over there, and he loves working with Cryptopsy. We did our last tour was in Asia in 2019, and the fans were just incredible. Just an anecdote that there was no Vietnam show planned on the last tour, and the Vietnamese promoter wanted us so badly that he started a crowd fund to show Slam Man that there was such an interest for us, and they like fulfilled their I can't remember how much money it was in like a half a day, and so we went to go play Vietnam, and it was an amazing show. But no, the fans are incredible. We're very, very lucky that Cryptopsy has such diehard fans. Cryptopsy has so many eras. There's been many vocalist changes, a little bit of musical diversity within the band, and everyone loves their particular era of Cryptopsy, but they support us nonetheless. I think it's really awesome.
How many new songs you guys be playing live in this tour?
We have three so far scheduled, which is probably the most that we've ever done. Typically, we'd only ever add one new song to a set list. So I've been pushing very hard to get more songs into the set list. But we have so many like legacy albums, such as None So Vile, that we have to play the old stuff.
Yeah.
If not, me as a fan going to see some band and they only play new material, I would be disappointed. So I want people to be happy. I want people to enjoy their experience, but I also want to showcase the new material. So we are playing three new tracks, and I'm very proud of that.
Here's a different question, Matt. I asked all my my guests, if you could time travel into the past or future, where would you go to visit and which year?
That's interesting. Well, something just happened here recently, and I don't know if this is just me. There's like two things that happened at the Big O, which is the Olympic Stadium here in Montreal, that were just iconic moments. The first one being when Roger Waters kicked a guy or spat on a guy at the Big O, and then that inspired, that horrible act inspired him to write The Wall.
Okay. Wow.
And that happened at the Big O, which is interesting. And then also in 1991, 92, I want to say, in the Big O, the Olympic Stadium here in Montreal. That's where the incident where James Hetfield got burnt.
That's true.
On stage. And then Axl Rose came out super late and played half a set, and then there was a massive riot.
A massive riot, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that they just tore the place. The fans were not having it. But Faith No More opened that show, and I would like to go back to watch Faith No More play that show.
Wow, very cool choices there. So what's next for yourself, Matt? What's on your agenda? What's coming up for yourself and the band here?
Well, we are in full get ready for tour mode, which is a lot of work. We are switching to in-ear monitors for the first time, which is a lot of work. So we are doing that for the next 2 weeks, and then we're going on tour. That's exactly what we need to do right now, because we need to get ready.
Well, some people don't know all the process here. So how many rehearsals do you guys do, give or take, about a couple or five rehearsals?
Never enough. I've been practicing solo since early July, just to get my mind and voice in shape. We're gonna start jamming this week, which is definitely not enough, but it's just the way it is. And typically it's the way it is. We're very busy. Chris is always in his studio. He just had a band here from Trinidad living at his house and stuff, recording a record with him. So once our schedules open up, which is happening right now, we're gonna start jamming this week, which is, you should jam more than that, people. You should definitely be jamming more.
Awesome. So for people listening, Vox and Hops, that's V-O-X, right? V-O-X?
Yeah.
And Hops.
100%. Yeah.
Check out the podcast, Matt's podcast. And S. Gamora Burns, coming out September 8th, Nuclear Blast. Thank you for your time, Matt. I appreciate that. And it's just a blast chatting with you. You're a great speaker, man. You're great. I'll check out your podcast. And Godspeed, man. Badass. Awesome.
I appreciate it. And if you can come out to any of the Texan shows, just let me know there. I don't know what city you're closest to. We got 3 shows in Texas.
I'll hit San Antonio or Austin for sure. Yeah.
Okay, Austin. We have no San Antonio. So we haven't played San Antonio a long time, and I really like that little, like, it's very touristy, that section there, but it's nice.
It is, right? Yeah.
In
right.
The Alamo there? Yeah, yeah. We haven't played there in a long time, but we're doing Austin at Come and Take It Live.
I'll go check it out. Very cool.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Let me know. I'll try to hook you up then.
Will do. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that.
Cheers, bud.
Do you confirm this is awesome metal for us fanatics? Thank you, Mr. Matt Magacci, frontman and awesome vocalist for the Canadian band Cryptopsy. Thank you for making time. And guys and girls, pick up S. Gamora Burns, which will be available for you guys on September 8th of 2023. So check it out. Anyway, so don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like us, don't forget to follow us, and blah blah blah, you know what to do, right? So thank you guys from your friend from Texas, James, and thank you to Matt of Cryptopsy. Support Cryptopsy Live, support them on their social media, purchase merchandise is what I'm trying to say, and also go check them out live, pay for the tickets, no scalping stuff, so pay. Anyways, don't forget to keep it metal.
That metal interview.